This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos at the Wall Street Journal in New York. So political campaigns, they know where you've been recently, literally, because they're tracking your phone, probably right now. Voter targeting has grown more invasive, and you can thank your smartphone for that. How advanced have things become, and how concerned should you be ahead of the 2020 election? Looking into it after these tech headlines. The European Union is warning of security threats to 5G networks, specifically from foreign vendors of telecommunications equipment, heightening their scrutiny of suppliers like Huawei. That's according to officials familiar with the matter and a privately circulated risk assessment prepared by European governments. A draft was reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. The draft analysis doesn't name Huawei specifically as a suspect vendor, but the Chinese company's large market position as a seller of equipment in Europe makes it the only significant target of scrutiny as a non-European supplier. European leaders will lay out specific guidelines for member states on how to best approach issues of security within 5G networks later this year. Uber has reached a deal to buy a majority stake in grocery delivery company Corner Shop, the latest restaurant delivery service to grab a slice of the larger food retail market. DoorDash, Postmates, and other third-party delivery companies have already struck deals with other convenience store chains to transport grocery orders to homes. Corner Shop already has on-demand delivery supermarkets, pharmacies, and food retailers in Chile, Mexico, Peru, and Toronto, Canada's largest city. MasterCard, Visa, eBay, and payments company Stripe are dropping out of the coalition of companies Facebook and listed to launch global cryptocurrency-based payments network Libra. The departures, which follow PayPal's decision to withdraw from the network, leave Facebook without much of the financial muscle it assembled to launch Libra, a digital currency it hoped would make it a player in e-commerce and global money transfers. For more details, head to WSJ.com. Media and internet company IAC said it's made a proposal to spin off its controlling interest in the online dating giant Match to its shareholders. IAC bought Match in 1999 and has an 83% stake. Its proposal would eliminate Match's dual-class stock structure. Match was launched in 1995, and Match Group was taken public in 2015. It reported roughly 9.1 million subscribers across a variety of dating platforms in its latest quarter. Coming up, voter targeting has become more invasive with location data that apps can transmit through cell phones. Look at what that means for your security ahead of the 2020 election campaign. Democratic and Republican candidates, political parties, and outside groups are increasingly tapping into a new source of data as they gear up for the 2020 election, your smartphone. Should you be concerned? And what specifically can you do for your security? Joining us now from our Paris bureau is Wall Street Journal reporter Sam Schechner. Hey, Sam, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
So the concept behind this political tracking is called geofencing. Can you explain what these companies are doing, what kind of info they're getting by this concept?
There are, you know, a variety of different ways that the information can make it to political actors. But in general, it starts with the smartphone app. That has access to the device's location. And either it's sending it to a location tracking company that then could be hired either directly or through an intermediary by the political group. Or sometimes it's just sending up requests for an ad to show in the app. And those requests are embedded with all kinds of information about the app and where it is, including sometimes its latitude and longitude. And other companies can basically intercept that data and use it to track devices. So you end up with what are potentially very detailed location histories for, you know, hundreds of millions of devices that are held by these location tracking firms. And they have all kinds of clients and increasingly now political ones.
And you note how, and this is important, that it's pretty much the most powerful piece of information, not to mention the most personal piece of information that these companies get a hold of.
Well, there certainly are, you know, potentially more personal things that one could find
Fair,
out.
As you've written about.
But, you know, over time, location can reveal where you live, which then unveils your identity. It can show where you work. It can show, you know, health information. If you're frequently going to a particular kind of clinic, it can show embarrassing information. Traditionally, you write stories about privacy, and sometimes people say, well, you know, okay, so this data is going somewhere. So what? You know, somebody's trying to sell me a new car. I don't have to buy the car. I don't really care. You know, sometimes the data is going to other places, and sometimes for purposes that you don't understand. And I think that that's what this reporting process brought home to me, is that, you know, that location history suddenly being used for electoral purposes is a little bit more significant.
Mm-hmm. And having said that, you know, again, the concept isn't new, but has the tech gotten better since the last election? For example, micro-targeting has been used for years, but how has today's tech made this whole game easier to play for these, you know, campaigns?
Well, campaigns have always had access to the pretty interesting and unique data set, which is voter rolls. So they have this file, essentially, of everybody who's registered to vote, you know, that they've parties and other groups have rolled up from every, you know, state election office. And they've, you know, long supplemented that with commercial data, which, you know, it's like people who've recently bought a washing machine and things like that, zip code based, you know, incomes and et cetera. Now, it's being combined with this commercial trove of data from online in a new way, you know, and that's happening more and more just because that data has become more accessible. And at the same time as well, you're finding with more data coming off of our phones to more companies, it's still a little bit of the Wild West. So, you know, on one hand, there's certain companies that'll sell the ability to target ads at devices that were in a certain location, but they won't tell the client which devices, and they won't give them information to be able to figure out who those people were. So it doesn't necessarily end up on the political group's list. But in our reporting, we found specific examples where the company did turn over that data. They were able to match it back to somebody's home address or somebody's email address so that they could be contacted again, so that somebody could get a knock on the door, and so that they could enrich their voter files. And there's companies that'll sell that data. And I think that those are new developments to imagine that there's actually a profile of you out there that includes not just, you know, stuff that had always been in there about, you know, your home address and, you know, if you have bad credit or something like that.
Right.
And now it also includes where you go and what websites and apps you use.
Considering the sensitive subject of data these days, what about caution here? You know, the Cambridge Analytica scandal where data was improperly accessed in 2016. Is that not a cloud that remains? How do campaigns weigh out those issues in terms of the climate these days?
Well, I think it definitely is. I think it's made this topic a little bit more touchy for campaigns. They're not necessarily all eager to shout about how they're using data. In some cases, I think it's independent groups that are doing some of the potentially, depending on your point of view, creepier or more innovative things with data.
Sure.
You know, and that's probably somewhat by design, because if it comes out, maybe it does freak some people out, as one consultant told us. There's discussion about increasing privacy protections and passing privacy laws in the U.S. And there's a new law going into effect in California. But in large swaths of the country, there's not much to restrict the collection of data for commercial or political purposes. Some people say, well, you know, there's one consultant who told us, I would willingly trade job security for better privacy. Since we don't have it, I'm going to keep on with these tools.
Right. I mean, that was sort of my question, because, you know, 2020 is, we're getting there very quickly. There's a lot of data to collect until then. So what's a privacy advocate to do?
Well, at an individual level, people can try to control their phone settings to share their location data less frequently. They can do things to reduce the amount of information that they put out. Maybe leave your phone at home when you're going to church. Another place that we found that people were being tracked.
Wow.
You know, I think that there are prospects. I mean, we'll see where they go, but there's certainly a movement towards federal privacy legislation that might at least create some more transparency around some of this activity and you know, rein some of it in. But some of these techniques are going to be part of the playing field in 2020, particularly in primary elections, where location specific work and trying to identify people who are, you know, receptive to your message in low turnout, sort of very, very local races mm-hmm. is particularly important. Location data proves to be particularly valuable in those kinds of elections, according to political experts.
You can check out more of Sam's article at WSJ.com. Sam, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom at The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.